theater. Sometimes a drowsy government clerk trudges along with a portfolio under his arm, if the way to his department lies through Nevsky Prospect. It may be confidently stated that at this period, that is, up to 12 o'clock, Nevsky Prospect is not the goal for any man, but simply the means of reaching it. It is filled with people who have their occupations, their anxieties, and their annoyances, and who are not thinking about the avenue. Peasants talk about 10 kopecks or 7 coppers. Old men and women wave their hands or talk to themselves, sometimes with very striking gesticulations, but no one listens to them or laughs at them, with the exception, perhaps, of street boys in homespun smocks, streaking like lightning along Nevsky Prospect with empty bottles or pairs of boots from the cobblers in their arms. At that hour, you may put on what you like, and even if you wear a cap instead of a hat, or the ends of your collar stick out too far from your necktie, no one notices it. At 12 o'clock, tutors of all nationalities descend upon Nevsky Prospect with their young charges in fine cambric collars. English Joneses and French Cocos walk arm in arm with the nurslings entrusted to their parental care, and with becoming dignity, explain to them that the signboards over the shops are put there so that people may know what is to be found within. Governesses, pale misses and rosy mademoiselles, walk majestically behind their light and nimble charges, telling them to hold themselves more upright or not to drop their left shoulder. In short, at this hour, Nevsky Prospect plays its pedagogic part. But as 2 o'clock approaches, the governesses, tutors, and children are fewer, and finally are crowded out by their tender papas, walking arm in arm with their high-strung wives in gaudy dresses of every possible color. Gradually, these are joined by all who have finished their rather important domestic duties, such as talking to the doctor about the weather and the pimple that has come out on their nose, inquiring after the health of their horses and their promising and gifted children, reading in the newspaper a leading article and the announcements of the arrivals and departures, and finally drinking a cup of tea or coffee. They are joined, too, by those whose enviable destiny has called them to the blessed vocation of clerks on special duties, and by those who serve in the Department of Foreign Affairs and are distinguished by the dignity of their pursuits and their habits. My God, what splendid positions and duties there are! How they elevate and sweeten the soul! But alas, I am not in the service, and am denied the pleasure of watching the refined behavior of my superiors. Everything you meet on the Nevsky Prospect is brimming over with propriety. The men in long jackets, with their hands in their pockets, the ladies in pink, white, or pale blue satin coats and stylish hats. Here you meet unique whiskers, drooping with extraordinary and amazing elegance below the necktie, velvety, satiny whiskers, as black as sable or as coal, but alas, invariably the property of members of the Department of Foreign Affairs. Providence has denied black whiskers to clerks in other departments. They are forced, to their great disgust, to wear red ones. Here you meet marvelous mustaches that no pen, no brush could do justice to, mustaches to which the better part of a life has been devoted, the objects of prolonged care by day and by night, mustaches upon which enchanting perfumes are sprinkled, and on which the rarest and most expensive kinds of pomade are lavished, mustaches which are wrapped up at night in the most expensive vellum, mustaches to which their possessors display the most touching devotion and which are the envy of passers-by. Thousands of varieties of hats, dresses, and kerchiefs, flimsy and bright-colored, for which their owners feel sometimes an adoration that lasts 2 whole days, dazzle everyone on Nevsky Prospect. A whole sea of butterflies seem to have flown up from their flower stalks and to be floating in a glittering cloud above the beetles of the male sex. Here you meet waists of a slim delicacy beyond dreams of elegance, no thicker than the neck of a bottle, and respectfully step aside for fear of a careless nudge with a discourteous elbow. Your heart beats with apprehension lest an incautious breath snap in two the exquisite products of art and nature.